This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 12.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, man, I still can't get over that intro. Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 12, and we're going to talk about building a software business from scratch, even without any technical experience and not even necessarily with any idea to start with. So I've got to thank Mike Koala from selfemployedking.com for introducing me to today's guest, Josh Isaac. And also a big thank you to Mike for his iTunes review of the show. He says 5 stars, actionable and amazing. So thank you so much for that. And if you want to be like Mike, you can get your very own shout out on an upcoming episode of this show if you jump into iTunes and say some nice things about it. So this is episode 12. You can find all the links mentioned during this episode at sidehustlenation.com/episode12. And so my guest, so Josh Isaac, started his first business while he was going to university, offering residential house painting services to homeowners in outside Vancouver, British Columbia. So he grew that business to 17 employees before deciding that the real world education it provided was far more valuable than the bachelor's of business administration degree he was studying for at school. So he dropped out with just a few credits left to go. Since then, he's tried out other business sectors like recruiting, outdoor living, and has even had a few failed startup attempts. And now, at 26, he decided to approach the online software world and has started two different software as a service businesses without ever coming up with the business ideas himself. He's currently the co-founder and CEO of MySky, which is at getmysky.com. You can check it out. And also the founding advisor of Guard Connect, which is guardconnect.net. So in college, Josh grew his College Pro franchise to be the second largest in all of North America and expertly worked the system to deliver just massive sales and profits. And this is something we really bonded over because I credit my summer painting days in college as being really a formative experience in my entrepreneurial life. This was, this was my first exposure in real life to cold calling, to making sales, customer service, to hiring and firing, to delivering the goods for customers and facing the major obstacles and unfortunately a lot of missteps along the way. So applying the same basic rules of the painting business to his new ventures, Josh is seeing some amazing success, and you will definitely be inspired by our conversation. All right, Josh, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thanks for having me.
So let's get started. During the intro, I was talking a little bit about how painting in college was a really formative experience for me in my entrepreneurial life, and I know it was for you too. Tell me a little bit about how you built your business to be the number two franchise in North America.
Yeah, no, it was, for me, it was an unbelievable experience. It was painful as well as fun. probably more painful than fun sometimes.
Definitely.
So just as a background, I was involved with College Pro Painters. They are the number one painting franchise in North America in terms of volume. They do about $60 million a year within 4 months with around 600 franchisees and 8,000 painters. So it's quite a big company, and I got I was approached at university, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I started out, and basically what they do is they take a university student and train them how to get leads, do estimates, book sales, and then produce painting jobs. And for me, it was probably the most formative experience because I The first summer I did that, I think it was probably the lowest point of my life I've ever been, because I had this business running. I had a bunch of workbook, but I didn't know how to paint. So I had all this responsibility with customers, and I didn't even know how to paint. And for me, that was probably the toughest time in my life, but I had to push through it. So I'm not sure what you want to talk a bit more about there, but it was minor details,
right?
Yeah, it was insane, but it kind of started off my business career.
But I think that's a great point about selling something. Like, if you're struggling with sales, here's a guy who can sell a paint job without even knowing what he's doing. I think that's an awesome story. Selling, dozens of paint jobs.
Yeah.
So eventually you figured out how to paint, and it's not rocket science, but like you said, I had my share of nightmares too in screwing things up and everything. And thankfully it's not life threatening, even though it feels like it is at the time.
Yeah.
So what did you do differently in terms of getting leads and selling customers that your colleagues were not doing?
I think that one of the biggest things is that I started early. A big thing for me is that I hate feeling behind. So it was kind of counterintuitive, but I remember the first year that I started this, it was January in Canada, and there was snow on the ground, and I was actually out pounding on doors getting leads.
Wow.
And it was weird because, you think things like that are impossible, especially when you're doing exterior painting. So the biggest thing for me is I started early and got leads, and I actually started selling painting jobs in February. So I would go to a customer and I would sell them on, me painting their house in June or July, but I would actually get a deposit for it in February. And for some people, it seems kind of counterintuitive and doesn't even seem possible. But I started as early as I could because I didn't want to fail.
Yeah, you're trudging. So you're going door to door in like snow boots, and people are looking at you like, what are you doing?
And I think moving on from there, like, that was very early on, and I kind of got the hang of the reason why I did that so early is because I literally didn't know how to go door to door and get a lead. And I literally didn't know how to sell. So I thought, hey, let's just try this as early as possible so I can actually get my feet wet with it. So I just went out there and was fully prepared to fail. But I just wanted to get some experience. And that kind of helped me just, learn a lot faster than most of the franchisees out there, because I was doing stuff, a lot earlier.
Okay.
So that was a big thing. And then, the second thing was, as I started building my business, I realized kind of where my strengths were. I think that people are not competent at some things, and there's sometimes people are good at things, and then sometimes people are excellent at things, and then also there's one step higher, and sometimes people have like a unique ability in a certain area. And if you can focus on just doing those things you have a unique ability in, your business is going to be successful. So for me, I found my first year, once I started getting out there and selling people on paint jobs, I found that I had quite a good knack for it, just to kind of create a relationship with someone and figure out what they needed and to be able to offer my service to them. So I basically started structuring my business around that ability. So I had people getting leads for me. I had people setting up my estimates for me. I had people doing the painting for me, and I had people running the painters. So all I had to do was just sell. And that's how I grew my business so big.
That's excellent. Whereas other people and myself, I was guilty of this too. Like, I would spend most of the day on the job site when, my primary responsibility should have been selling more jobs. We got to figure out where we're going to go next week. And if I'm sitting there painting all day, that's not going to happen.
Exactly. And I think that's a kind of a thing that in every business someone comes to, it's that friction point where if you want to grow, you kind of got to get out of that operational mindset.
Definitely.
And into the business growth mindset. And if you have an ability, especially a unique ability in business growth, your business can just explode.
Definitely.
If you focus your time there.
Definitely. So I love this part of the story. So you've been doing College Pro for 2 or 3 years at this point, and you have, you said, like 10 credits left to graduation.
Yeah, I was running my business and I had, well, actually had 12 classes left. So it was a little more than 10 credits, but it was about a year, a year left of classes, a bit over that.
And then what happened?
Oh, I had a decision to make. I was running, it was a third year running the business, and I was making good money. I had lots of employees and I was learning all this stuff, and it almost, felt like my business degree was something where I was just going and learning some book work. Where I was actually learning was actually on the job. So I had a choice. So I want to keep finishing my school spend another year and a half there, or do I want to get out in the business world and just keep pursuing my kind of entrepreneurial activities?
Yeah, that's awesome. A great commentary on formal education versus practical education. And when I was going through business school too, if I didn't have the painting experience sitting in class without anything to apply it to, mm-hmm. I can't imagine how boring the class would be. But because I had that, it gave me something to like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Or, you know, that's, you know, that marketing tactic or that sales tactic at work. So
absolutely.
But very cool. Very cool. And so now you're involved, or now you've built this CRM software system called MySky, mm-hmm. and is doing very well. But I wanted to ask real quickly, what about painting houses prepared you to jump into the software world?
That's a good question. Actually, I didn't know that until, you know, what all, how it applied till a while ago. But one thing I want to say just quickly on the whole formal versus practical, if I could. One thing I noticed was that, a lot of our life's lessons and business lessons come from failure, right? And in school, we're like just conditioned to get A's. So it's really hard, I think, to learn practically business skills when you're just in classes, because there's not a lot of failure, right?
Right.
I think that's where the practical education comes in. But that was a little note I wanted to say on that.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, so the next question on the how did painting apply to the software?
Yes.
I didn't know how it was, like, as I was going from this, you know, physical product type business or service. I did a few of them, painting and another one, and then all of a sudden got into the online world, and I was a little scared because it says, you know, it's a whole new realm of things. But what I found was business is all the same. You don't really need to reinvent any wheel, and especially like the biggest part where I found was the sales process.
Okay.
Because selling, you know, I found that selling painting jobs to customers or selling software to people is really the same thing. For instance, with our painting sales process, how it went is it went from, you know, knocking on the door to get a lead, and you get that lead, and then from that point you would call that lead and set up an estimate, and that estimate would be your sales, you know, pitch, where you go there and see what, you know, the customer wants, and then see if we can match that to what we provide. And then from there, you would sell them on a paint job and collect a deposit.
Okay.
And when it came to selling software, I actually made a ton of mistakes. I kind of forgot the whole process that I'd been trained and done. And what I would do is I would start calling people, and I was trying to evaluate if they needed my software or had that pain I was solving, and then try and sell them on the same call. And it wasn't working. It was like I was trying to do everything at once. I was trying to gather the lead, book the estimate, and make the sale.
Okay.
And I just wasn't having success with it. So, you know, what I did is I drew back from my painting experience. I said, you know, wait a sec. I actually had a friend that kind of enlightened me in this aspect. And he's like, we never tried to sell, a customer on the time you knock on the door and get a lead.
Right.
There's always a process. There's always get the lead, set up the estimate, and then book the sale. So, I basically mimic that process again. So what I do now is I first get the lead, you know, collect someone's business card or I call someone and see if they're interested in our product. That's great. So then I wait a day or so, and then I call them to set up would be a virtual walkthrough, and that would be my estimate. So that's the second step in the process. It's exactly the same as the painting process.
Okay.
And then that virtual walkthrough or the estimate that I would go to as a paint, you know, to book a painting job would be where I'd sell our software to them. So it basically follows that three-step process. If you get the lead, set up the estimate, and then book the sale. Just the difference would be that it's all virtual now.
Gotcha. So where did the idea come from for MySky? Or I guess you talk real briefly about, you know, what it is and what it does too.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So MySky is a small business CRM. So we found that there's a lot, you know, there's the big CRMs out there like Salesforce and Zoho, and they're quite complicated in terms of their user interface and just how people interact with them. And given because they're built so long ago, and user interface trends change and design trends change and programming changes as well. So it gets easier and easier over time. So you have these big legacy systems out there where there's hundreds of thousands of companies on, but it's hard to change the design of that product when you have so many people on because people are used to it. So what we found is that the small business market was screaming for something a bit easier and simpler to use.
Okay. Just something from personal, I guess you had a hunch, or like how did you find out there was a niche here?
Sure. This was an interesting process actually. It almost wasn't a process. It was just kind of being open. I realized that I really wanted to get into software as a service, or you know, the online software model of business. And I had a friend that was a CEO of a company called Phantom Screens, and we were talking, and all of a sudden she mentioned, hey, you know, we're looking to implement Salesforce within our businesses in North America. And they had 105 of them. And right away I was like, oh, great, software, online opportunity. So I just said, you know, how about we build one for you?
Okay.
instead of going to use Salesforce. And from there, it was a month and a half of kind of just talking it over, and we ended up getting a $40,000 contract to build the system for them. You know, without kind of knowing anything about software, just kind of dove head first into it. So that was, I kind of saw there was a need there for the small businesses within her company. And then from there, what we did, we started building that. And then we realized we started talking to other small businesses in the market. So basically, you know, we went to meetup groups and different things and realized that that other businesses, rather than just this Phantom Screens industry, actually wanted a small business CRM as well. So then we started approaching other businesses as well in different markets.
Okay, so that was the next question. So Phantom Screens, rather than investing in Salesforce or Infusionsoft or something, they said, we're going to pay you instead to build this, you know, kind of specifically for us. And if it applies to other businesses, great, that's fine too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, did you code it yourself? You said we, so there's like a development team behind this too?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that conversation happened and it was kind of like, oh boy, you know, we might actually be able to build this. So from there, I have a friend that was is a very, very good developer, we started talking about it, and he had a very big passion to build a better, easier, simpler CRM than is out there right now. So he partnered with myself there.
Okay. I was going to ask if you had the technical skills to write code and build.
No, zero.
Okay.
Nothing.
Very good. So I wanted to ask about your experience with the foundation, which is kind of an online course or program that will teach people to develop a similar software business of their own, because it is such a lucrative model with, you know, no delivery costs, and especially if you can build a recurring monthly revenue into it. It's a beautiful business. But it sounds like this particular, that MySky CRM, was built before your involvement with them.
Yeah, it was built during the foundation, but it started before. Reason being is, so I did start another business within the foundation. But the reason why I started MySky before is because I didn't think I was going to get into the foundation. I followed their launch and I applied for it and everything, but I thought there's going to be too many good people and I wasn't going to get in. So I said, hey, you know, I'm just going to apply these principles of idea extraction and, building software either way. I'm going to build something if I get in or not.
Because they publish a lot of their stuff for free, and Dane does a lot of interviews that are really helpful. And if nothing else, they definitely get your brain going on like, oh, I can do this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it's the principles, right? Like the foundation, I can tell you what the value of it is being in it, but there's also the principles that they give away for free, you know, Mixergy and different spots they've interviewed. And if you can, take a little action on them, you can kind of get a good start.
So how do you find, how do you find the right questions to ask?
You know what? I think it all, the first thing is how do you pick up that phone, right? I think the hardest thing for people is picking up that phone. And that was a really hard thing for me to pick up the phone and actually call a business to say, to kind of, you know, figure out what their challenges were. Once you get past that, I found that, that asking the right questions comes quite naturally if you're honest. And I always kind of start with that base in painting and everything. So how I approached a call was just really honest and told them exactly what I was doing. So, you know, a typical call would look like, you know, I'd call someone, you know, within the industry I'm trying to ID extract on. And, I would say, you know what, my name's Josh, I'm from Vancouver. What I'm doing is I'm actually just researching your industry right now. And I'd love to, I'm trying to find the biggest challenge that you guys are facing, because my hope is that I can help solve that for the industry through software. Okay. So if you're interested in helping me with that, I'd love to hear how your day-to-day goes in your business and what your challenges are you're facing. And approaching it that way, I think, is great, because it doesn't seem like a cold call. It seems like some entrepreneur just calling, being honest, just being open, telling them what they're doing, and hoping that he can, you know, that he can help the business. I found that was the best way to approach it.
Yeah, very good. Did you target any specific, you know, area of small business? Like, the example he gave recently was like real estate agents or massage parlors or wedding photographers or whoever.
Yeah. So when I did the foundation, I started another business and kind of did the real foundation process, which would be, you know, picking a niche. So whether that's, you know, massage parlor or security companies or whatever it is, and then calling that niche to find out what their biggest challenges are, basically idea extracting on them.
Okay.
And then once you find the biggest challenge throughout the industry that everyone's having, then that's your business idea. Then from there, you'd want to ask them if they would buy it basically before it's created. And then when you get people to buy that, that's your business. And then you start development with them. So I focused in the foundation. I focused on security patrol companies in North America.
Okay. Yeah, something that's large enough, and you had a couple other rules, like you can reach the decision maker, and they're already spending money on some software and all this stuff. So it's a really cool business, and that the fact that it's replicable across any number of different industries, I think, mm-hmm. is what makes it beautiful. And that's kind of the beauty in College Pro too, is that in any franchise, right? It's like, hey, we've got a proven system that works. If you're willing to kind of follow these steps and play by these rules, you might have some success too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. The beauty with the foundation is that it really, you know, there's endless opportunities out there. And I think a lot of times people hold their ideas close to their chest, which is completely the wrong attitude, because I think that people should have an abundance mentality where there's literally millions of ideas and millions of different businesses to start. All you have to do is just pick up that phone and just ask what people's challenges are. Because when you find a challenge or a pain problem that someone has, that's a business idea if you can solve it.
Yeah, definitely. If you get people talking about their pain, and then they're like, then at the end you can present, well, if it's going to be $50 a month or $100 a month to take that pain away, like, okay, mm-hmm. well, maybe that's a good proposition.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one little trick you can do is you can price anchor them. So for instance, if you had a pain in terms of scheduling, say you're really hard to schedule and it was taking 10 hours a month for you, and you value your time at $50 an hour. You know, you're looking at $500 a month in cost. So if I said, hey, how does it sound if I can save you those 10 hours? And if I just charge you 10% of that, what it's costing you right now. So if I charge you $50 a month, you'd probably be like, wow, you know, that's a great deal.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. A friend of mine in San Francisco is building a kind of an online fraud protection software. And mm-hmm. they're like, hey, credit card fraud costs, you know, you company XYZ, you know, $1 million every year or something, like, and so then it's like, well, if any price lower than that, you know, logically they should be willing to pay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
So that's a great idea. What makes MySky different from Salesforce? You mentioned it's targeting the small business and it's got a modern interface, but, mm-hmm. You know, what are you doing to differentiate from these more established players?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. It's the interface. So that's one big thing, because with small businesses, you know, us, or as we start with Salesforce, they say they do, you know, I'm exaggerating, say they do 300 different things in their software. They have, you know, this feature, that feature, all these different features. Whereas in a small business just wants, you know, five things for the CRM to do really well. When you have like 10 times the amount of features you need, it becomes a really bulky system and it's really hard to use. So then what you end up happening is you just don't use it. So that's the big thing with us. Like, we're trying to just, you know, we're working with around 80 small businesses right now, and that have, you know, pre-bought into our system, and we're trying to see exactly what they need, and just kind of develop that rather than developing a, you know, way more than they need. That's one big thing. But I heard the biggest thing, you know, I've been talking to a lot of our customers and walking people through and everything. The biggest thing I think that we do that differently that people are loving that are on our system is actually it all stems back from College Pro. It's really understanding that small business sales process and building that into our system. We make it very visual. So like I said, you know, a typical small business sales process would be, you know, for any business you can apply this, it'll be lead. You gather a lead, you book an appointment, and then you sell the person at that appointment. So it's kind of a, you know, it takes a few steps to get to the sale. However, that process isn't always linear. So it's not always like you get the lead, you book the appointment, you sell the sale. Sometimes you'll get the lead, you'll call them to book the appointment, but they're not there, so you got to leave a message. And then you get to the appointment, you do the sales, your sales call, and the person doesn't book on the spot, so you have to do a follow-up. So there's all these different paths you can go to get a lead to convert to a sale. So we kind of manage those paths. And section out, okay, how many people you have at left message stage, how many people you have at the follow-up stage, how many people are scheduled in, all those different things. We make it very visual and help manage that process. So the small business person can really visually and, you know, see their leads going to sales, and that motivates them.
Yeah, definitely. You can see the funnel and kind of, you can do some analytics and some fun stuff on closing rate and everything else.
Exactly. Yeah.
The cool thing here is, you know, when you're calling around doing the idea extraction, those people naturally become your first sales leads and your first clients.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely. You have this list. I mean, when you call and do idea extraction, you have this list of people that you've touched base with already. So they're naturally, you know, they're the people you know, once you idea extract the whole industry, you would go back to them and they'd be the people you would call to see, okay, or I validated this pain and I'm going to develop this solution. Is this something that would fit with you? And would you be interested in joining our founding member program? And that would entail X, Y, and Z. So they're your first customers.
Okay. Were you starting locally, or kind of, did you cast a nationwide net of you know, businesses to cold call and do idea extraction with?
With the business I started with in the foundation, I chose basically Canada and did that. How I did that was I had there's a website called Manta.com. It's MANTA.
Okay.
.com, and what I did is I hired a virtual assistant from Odesk.com. And I had him basically go on Manta, section out the industry I'm dealing with, and give me Excel files of the names, phone numbers, business names, and email addresses of people in the industry I was idea extracting on.
Okay.
I was responsible for calling them. So I had, again, you know, stay within your unique ability. Don't go and gather information. You can pay someone a few dollars an hour on Odesk to do that. And he would basically give me the list and I would call them and idea extract them. So I stuck within Canada.
Okay, very good. And so how much did it cost for this VA on Odesk?
Oh, it was $222 an hour. So yeah, I was probably paying 10 bucks a week, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe not even to get, you know, I probably got about 150 to 200 email addresses and names a week.
Okay. Wow. So this is a pretty sizable database that he's building for you for 10 bucks a week, essentially.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. 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 And then what you would do with that is you would get those, and then you can actually, you know, put them in email marketing software to email out to the lists that you get. And then you can look at who's opened, who's clicked on your emails, and you would call those people. So you're trying to be really strategic with who you call. Just call the people that are engaging with your with your communications.
Gotcha. Yeah, very good. And so that's something that anybody can do. If you have an idea for a software product, or even not even a software product initially, but a, you know, an area of business that you want to target or get into, you know, to use the Manta database to, you know, segment out the business owners and who to get started with.
It is so, exactly. It's so easy. I mean, the biggest thing that people, you know, think when they try and start a business is that it's hard. It's actually not. You know, you don't have to have an office. You don't need to have a business name. You don't need to have a website. You don't need to have anything. All you got to do is just have a little bit, you know, a few hours a day. I mean, yeah, all you got to do is pick the industry and get the list of people and call them and see what they need.
Yeah,
it's very, very easy.
Very good. Very good. What drew you to the security niche?
I listed like 20 different industries, and I had to almost immediately know. No, but I had to figure out which one I want to go with. And the reason I chose the security one is because I just assumptively thought that there's a lot of moving parts in the business. So there's scheduling, there's guards, there's clients, there's a lot of different things going on there in the business.
Okay.
And it's a relatively big industry. So I felt that out of the ones I listed there, that one have a really high chance of having problems or challenges that they're facing because of all the things they're dealing with, sites and guards and business and all this different stuff.
Very good. So I kind of want to move towards wrapping things up and ask, if you had to start over, like, what would you do differently, or kind of how would you spend your first week or your first month?
If I had to start over with the tech business?
Yeah.
Oh boy. I think believing, you know, I think a big thing is believing in myself. Like, I think every entrepreneur comes to the challenge where, like, there's something you're not confident with, and that usually halts our growth. For me, I think just believing that I can do it. Like, I think a lot of times I wouldn't take action because I just wasn't confident that I was deserving of success, or I wasn't confident that, I could even idea extract on people. And just being able to really manage my mindset, I think I would have worked a bit more on that. I never spent a lot of time on that, but I realized going through this business that it's a real thing where I constantly have, you know, daily battles with just believing that I can do what I'm doing. So I would really focus on just getting in the right mindset, and just continually believing that I can do things, I think that propels you forward because you actually take action then.
It makes me happy to hear that you're still, nervous about making cold calls even after, knocking on doors in the middle of winter and selling dozens and dozens of paint jobs.
Yeah, you know, literally, I've done in my college days. And this is the funny thing is I did 750 plus sales calls in College Pro over the 3 years, and I sold a lot of paint. So coming into the foundation, I was like, it's gonna be easy, you know, doing cold calls, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I got there. It was the hardest thing. Like I had times where I just did not want to pick up that phone at all. I was scared. I was nervous. I was unconfident. Like, it never goes away. And everyone feels it. And that's why that even though this way of starting a business is so simple, if you do it, it's a very big competitive advantage, and not a lot of people are doing it because that barrier of just calling people is really big.
Yeah, it's tough. That's my software idea. It's a cold calling, cold calling, something that will do your cold calling for you.
Hey, there you go. See, look, that's how easy it is. There's a pain and you're solving it. That's literally how easy it is to start a business.
Exactly. I'll sell it to all the foundation students.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Very good. Before we get off, any other parting tips for Side Hustle Nation?
Yeah, I have one. I think this might sound kind of a cliche, but I really think this is huge. To really just take the word impossible out of your vocabulary. It's so crazy. Like, looking at the painting, you know, College Pro and everything, you know, at one point in College Pro, it was termed impossible for a university student to do $200,000 worth of painting jobs in a 4-month operating season. And then someone did it. Someone did over $200,000.
Wow.
And then it was impossible for someone to do $300,000 worth of work in 4 months as a university student. And then it was possible for someone to do $500,000. But all those milestones were beat within College Pro.
Wow, that's insane. In a half a year. Or not, yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, like you know, you start in January and you start painting usually in May, maybe a little bit before for some people, but yeah, really the painting operating season is around 4 months. Things seem impossible until someone does it. It's always like that. So like there's no merit to that. It's exactly the same thing coming into the foundation. Like, who would think it's possible to start a business with no idea, no website, no business name, just talking to people, and to actually get money for something that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and no money, and having your future customers pay for the development.
Yeah, pay for the development, and on something that doesn't literally exist. And who would think that's possible? And if you said that to someone, they'd be like, "Yeah, right." But I did it. You know, people do it, and so I think that the biggest thing is like, just don't believe things are impossible. Just all you got to do is just have a vision and take action on it. And that's the biggest barrier for sometimes for people is like I said, believing themselves, believing they can do it, and just forgetting about the word impossible. Seriously.
Awesome. I love it. Josh, if anybody wants to learn more about you, where can they find you online?
So my website for the CRM is www.getmysky.com. So GetmySky.com. Definitely go there. If you mentioned Side Hustle Nation, when you sign up either on email or when you talk to us, I'll give 10% off for the first year.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
For anyone that's listening to this podcast. And then I love connecting with people. So you can go to my Twitter. It's at Josh_Isaac, and Isaac is spelled ISAAK, or look me up on LinkedIn and feel free to add me to any of those. I love connecting with entrepreneurs and people and talking about business.
Very good. We'll throw up links to all that stuff in the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/episode 12, maybe, I think, at this point, episode 12.
Yeah, awesome.
Awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to chat and share all your entrepreneurial wisdom.
Yeah, and it was fun talking. Thanks for having me, Nick.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. Pretty inspiring stuff, right? Are you ready to do some idea extraction of your own? This conversation with Josh definitely got me thinking about what businesses could potentially be helped with some new lean software solution. And I will definitely keep you posted if I make any moves in that direction as a side hustle of my own. So a couple really great interviews to get your juices flowing even more on this stuff. You can check out with the founder of the foundation, Dane Maxwell. So he's done a lot of interviews, but I'll link to just two. Because after a certain point, they all kind of cover pretty much the same subject matter. So one is on the Smart Passive Income podcast, and the other is on the Inspiring Innovation podcast with Miran Bereket. Definitely worth checking those out. I'll link to both of those at sidehustlenation.com/episode 12. And if you don't want to start out completely cold, maybe start by making a list of the businesses where you have some sort of connection or experience or history with. You know, for me, that may be footwear retailers, car dealers, paint stores, like we talked about in the show, virtual assistant companies, etc. But on the other hand, if you want to idea extract on an industry you have no prior experience with, in that case, you won't be susceptible to any pre-existing bias. So either way, I think there's an opportunity there. And let me know what you think about that. So if this side hustle strategy is something you're interested in, let me know. Send me an email. I'm at nick@sidehustlenation.com, or leave me a comment at sidehustlenation.com/episode 12. And I will see you next week in episode 13. That's it for today's show. Until then, let's go out there and make something happen.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.